Welcome into another Locked On Bills. I'm your host, Kevin Misery, here with co-host Jason Shannon with this action-packed June edition. Going to get into a lot of stuff today, Jason. Want to talk about a little quick nugget on Josh Allen, whether he was 1, 2, or 3 on the Bills board. As here on Locked On in the network, we're going to give you bite-sized nuggets, your team, every day. Also wanted to talk about it just being June, right? Just May, just April, just March. Now we're into June. No one was cut. Want to get into that a little bit. A lot of young talent on this roster. Wanted to get on White's comments on Edmonds and only 12 players left remaining from Doug Whaley's squad. I wanted to get into a little bit of Bills taking all of Wood's salary this year. And lastly, some day two potential picks from this year's draft that could have been in DBs that might go into the supplemental draft. Jason, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Kevin. Excited to talk about the Bills this week.
Yeah, some content as we can produce it. And once again, you get your daily stuff right here on the Locked On Network. One quick topic I want to talk about, Jason, just real right off the top, where do you think the Bills had Josh Allen? 1, 2, or 3?
I'd say probably second.
You think
they had a long, you know, there was a lot of smoke screens along the way, though you never really saw them or heard them very connected to Josh Rosen. And obviously, Allen got taken ahead of him. So that was already bared out. But, you know, going back a year ago when this whole sort of quarterback saga started, where we were accumulating picks and trading away veterans for them, Sam Darnold was the name I heard that they had their eye on, that they've been watching really closely for over a year. And even though the rumblings were much stronger for Josh Allen around the time of the draft, I do think they probably had Darnold ahead. I don't have a huge read on Baker Mayfield, but I also not sure that he's their type of guy. And, you know, not only attitude-wise, which I don't think is a big deal, but he's comes off as a cockier player. But also, I mean, you look at him and height-wise and size-wise, you know, he's basically the polar opposite of a guy like Josh Allen. You know, if that's the flavor you're looking for, and if they were really worried about the weather and, you know, how he's going to cut through the wind in these cold games, you know, you're going to prefer Josh Allen than you know, a small guy from Oklahoma.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I did poll. We got a lot of response on the poll that Locked On Bills covered. 50% of the people that listen to our show, or at least follow the account, 50% said that he was second on the board. So I'm assuming a lot of people believe that Darnold was there. You got to imagine that they were hoping Rosen went to the Jets, right? Like, they knew that Cleveland would take one of the three guys that they, you know, might have had 1, 2, and 3. So they knew that it was either going to be Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, or Sam Darnold. But they clearly had Rosen as fourth. I mean, that's clearly obvious. So do you think that they were hoping the Jets would go Rosen and really open up the door?
Yeah, and I think they may have even made a more aggressive play to move up into that Broncos pick or, you know, Colts pick or whatnot if Darnold was available. I think they had him ahead of Allen. I don't know for sure. But yeah, you could have seen a different trade if Darnold didn't go at 3. It would have really opened up things. But yeah, I don't know that they wouldn't have drafted Rosen. I think they probably would have eventually
would.
If yep. they had stayed they, put and he
fouled. They make that Arizona trade 100%.
Yeah, but you know, I think he was clearly fourth. So
I think so too. Which would have been funny is if for some reason that Arizona overpaid and grossly overpaid and got up to a selection. But the rumor is Denver wasn't and Indianapolis. They weren't trading. I mean, that was just a rumor based on the board. Neither of them wanted to lose Nelson or Chubb. I think that's pretty well documented at this point that, you know, neither of those trades were going to happen. So I think Tampa was the first chance and we gave up a lot. And I think that's kind of what Arizona punted. I mean, I think we were after the same player as whether or second or third on their board. We were after the same player, but I'd assume that Allen is pretty high in the Cardinals board too.
Probably. Yeah, there's no real way to know that or, you know, that they didn't try to blow
away
the
box. We didn't bid against ourselves, I guess is all I'm getting to, right?
Yeah, I think there was competition there, and I don't, you know, you still don't know for sure that Miami wasn't interested in anybody. You don't know for sure about any of these things. It's all speculation, and if the cards fell in a different way, who knows, it could have totally changed things. But you know, I do believe that the Broncos were, you know, told off the Bills and said we're really taking Chubb. I do have a belief that like any trade can get made, and if they were desperate enough, maybe, you know, we'd have Sam Darnold, but we wouldn't have Tremaine Edmonds now, or, you know, missing other picks. So
I think that's true.
Or next year's first, or who knows. I mean, now that it's done, he can say all he wants about how he wasn't going to trade next year's first, and he wasn't going to do this and that, and the Broncos were never going to do it. It's a totally different world if your number one quarterback falls past three.
I agree with that. And there's nothing you can do about Baker Mayfield. Guy went one. Don't really think you can discuss it. You'll never really know where he was on the Bills board.
Right.
Scratch him off. But I think if Josh Rosen goes three, and that's kind of what they were hoping for, I have to imagine that's absolutely was their dream scenario. I don't know what – I mean, do they – who knows what how they play, because they obviously liked both players. So does that make you trade less? Does that make you trade more to come up and get Darnold? I mean, I think it's an interesting discussion. And unfortunately, you know, Allen, you know, was the choice in terms of not having a chance at this dream scenario. I mean, so do you think that that would have been a dream scenario to maybe lower the trade price?
If what?
If you had Rosen go three.
Yeah, I don't know how much it would have changed.
Okay.
I don't really know how much it would have changed. And again, other teams, you know, maybe Miami's sitting there and saying, we have Ryan Tannehill, but if Sam Darnold falls, now we're in the quarterback game. I'm sure not every team that needed a quarterback liked all four guys. There's a chance that we did, but yeah, there's a lot of scenarios to talk about in terms of how much we liked guys. But I can tell you for sure we like Josh Allen more than Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson. So.
Yeah, it's the only thing you know for sure, right? I think that's the only thing concrete. And I also think what could have been a scenario that Bills fans would have liked at the time would have been getting Rosen for only a third round pick coming up a couple of selections and losing out on Allen. At the time, that would have been a blessing for a lot of Bills fans, including one producer who quit at WGR over it. So I think that would have been interesting to talk about and potentially even had those second round picks too. So it's a great debate and one that I wanted to cover, got a lot of coverage and, you know, wanted to hit that a little bit, and we'll probably revisit it, but I think you could have penciled those quarterbacks any way you wanted. And, I do think that he was two on the Bills board. So that I think that that's crazy. So Jason, getting into June, you know, we were told by Bean himself that it's not just June. I mean, it's just going to be June. You're going to have receivers caught. You're going to have other positions caught, you know, always alluding to back to that Macklin Decker scenario. That was like one of the first time in the last couple of years I could ever recall fairly talented players getting caught at that point of the season. This year it happened to just be Kendricks alone who has signed with Cleveland or going back and forth or whatever that debate is going on. Do you anticipate any players getting caught? Are you starting to get worried now that we're into June?
I'm not necessarily worried because I'm not sure that how many guys we were really in the market to get anyways. I think receiver is the one that's obvious. And then beyond that, I think we'd really just be picking up guys who are oddly cut that we really think could make the team and help the team right now. I think that they probably think our roster is pretty set. And in some respects, it's a good thing. The defense looks really good. It looks about as deep as it's going to be. I'm not sure you could add, you know, other than like a starter like Kendricks, where it's going to really make your team markedly better on defense. And in a weird way, you know, I think the offensive line's kind of a minor disaster right now, but I wouldn't really see them picking up any more guys. I don't think they would just add another guy like Newhouse or another guy like Bodine or another guy like Groy or the guys.
No, it would have to be like a day one starting right guard or something.
Right. And I think that's worth it. And you go for it at that point, but I'm not sure there's really been any rumors, even when we thought guys that were going to get cut, that would come for that. Obviously there's receivers still out there and there's receivers that people suspect, you know, could be on the move. But it hasn't happened yet. You know, we've been looking at the same group of receivers.
Macklin and Decker every year, or at least last couple of years.
They've been signing those 1 years and they've been like just good enough to stay in the league, but just not good enough to get like a real contract. So,
right.
Those guys are hired guns right now. That was sort of like the Jericho Cotchery role for years, or, you know, there's a lot of guys who take these 1 year deals and try to help a team in the short term later in their career, where teams just don't want to give them like 4 year deals.
No, it was rumored that Dez Bryant would wait till training camp, and that it was said that a lot of interest. I think the Bills were interested. I don't know that he wanted to come here at all. Might have to be persuaded and be guaranteed a ton of playing time. and probably try to see how the situation goes, how good Josh Allen and or AJ McCarron look. But being himself, I think, I mean, he's got to get asked about it, in my opinion. I mean, he mentioned it being a process, of course, but him saying, you know, June, there's going to be players available. We're going to make our roster better. Those players didn't become available. I think he needs to take accountability for telling us that's how one of the ways that you can grow your roster. Missing out on them last year, even the ones that were cut, and then this year it not really happening. It's June. I mean, it is just June, but OTAs are going to be over here soon, and you're going to training camp, and you're not going to find – I mean, at what point do you need to be in the system to be deemed effective? Like, when do you start to say – they have enough time to learn the playbook?
Well, you're looking at it from two sides. Yeah, I think a guy showing up late is going to affect your team. I also think probably all of these guys have gotten offers and are probably thinking, eh, I just miss OTAs. Like, I would love 2 more months of vacation. I'm a 12-year veteran, and I get 2 months off every year. I would love to have 5 months off this year. I think that's a big thing. We've seen it from positions and players in different positions in the past, guys who hold out just so they can miss a couple of weeks of camp.
Sure.
I think there's some of these guys might end up sticking out until, you know, a week or two into camp and going into preseason game two. And I do think that that creates a big conflict because on one end, these guys want their vacation and they're going to end up getting their contract probably from a desperate team. And then on the other hand, you have a team that just doesn't have adequate time to prepare this player to be an effective player to start the season. So, yeah, it's a conflict. And
when do you think the player needs to be in by to be able to be effective? Like, I mean, there is a limit, right?
I think if a guy plays, if he's in shape and he's there before the start of training camp, I think he can help.
Okay.
Without affecting the start of the season. If you're going in and you're not playing or getting acclimated to the team until preseason games 3 or 4 or whatever,
in August, like Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, like Anquan Boldin. I think it's gonna hurt the start of your season, especially, you know, just older players. You know, I think that they might pick up a playbook a little bit quicker, but also, you know, getting accustomed to being in the speed of things again after, you know, not playing since January. I think they can really affect a guy and really affect the team that's expecting him to go in and be a second receiver, which I would, you know, the 2 or 3 guys that you mentioned there probably would have those expectations.
Right. And I mean, once again, this is the Locked On Podcast Network, and this is your team every day. We're your local experts on your biggest stories. We're not done here, Jason. I know that I'll be back to this topic. If Bean's going to play that in his press conferences in terms of saying, this is a way to build your team, I'm going to keep coming back to it. You're going to feed me a little bit more by saying players are going to get cut. We're going to build a roster. This thing isn't finished. Well, it's June. I don't see the players becoming available. So I want to see what can happen. I want to see you grow this roster. Receiver is a big hole to me. You're relying a lot on Zay Jones and Jeremy Curley, but a lot of young talent on the team otherwise, Jason. And, you know, one becoming an ambassador, and he was seen on NFL Network's Good Morning Football, Trey White. He praised Trey Edmonds, you know, describing him as an alpha male while also detailing his athleticism and intelligence. The quote was, "This is an alpha male here, man," White, you know, said White. And then he goes on to say, "Guy goes sideline to sideline. He's a 4'4 guy. He's got tremendous range athleticism, and his knowledge of the game is next to none. I feel like by training camp, he's going to be probably one of the best young linebackers in the league." What do you think of White going on there and saying that?
I mean, it's cool. You like to hear teammates say good things about their teammates and just be impressed. And, you know, when you get it from an impressive player who sees him in the defense, who gets to play, you know, kind of plays behind him, gets to see what he's doing as far as moving around. It's a good indication. I don't know how much you're going to get out of seeing him in shorts, but you're going to see his movement skills. And, you know, any player in that defensive huddle is going to see immediately about whether he knows what he's doing or not, because he's going to be calling plays back there. And I'm not surprised about it at all. I'm surprised that he fell to 16. And I thought when I saw his tape, I thought he was a much better football player than people gave him credit for, because I think people put him in the Marcus Davenport sort of, or even his brother, Terrell Edmonds sort of camp of, like, you know, athletic freak, but football playing's got to get there. He's not a perfect football player, But I thought he was one of the best, you know, two or three linebackers in college football last year. And so I'm not shocked if he's as intelligent as Trey White says he is. You add that with the athletic talents, and really the sky's the limit, and it might be more immediate that we thought that he's going to be one of the best, you know, 10 linebackers in the league.
Right. And I continue the quote. This is the one that gets me even more excited, and you should get excited as a Bills fan. Since the first day he got here, man, he's commanded the huddle on the defensive side of the ball. As you can tell by OTAs and the offseason, he's been getting tremendously comfortable in the playbook, and every day he's getting better and better. By the first game, he's going to be knocking folks around. I mean, I think that that's a telling. I mean, I think you can tell more about that in shorts than you can the other stuff. You know, how sure. How you can cover in your 4-4, that kind of stuff, and in shorts, whatever. But as you're commanding huddles, you're able to get the calls out. You're leading your team. I think, I mean, he's 20 years old. I mean, that's
it's a guy that just turned 20. It's very impressive. And again, there are players that got picked ahead of him. I understand. Things kind of got moved down with the quarterbacks that went and whatnot. There's definitely, I mean, I would say even objectively, six or seven guys I would have taken Edmonds over, at least.
I think so.
Even if I needed a quarterback. I mean, I think all of the defensive players besides maybe Roquan Smith, Bradley Chubb.
Yep.
That's about it as far as guys I probably would have taken over him.
I agree with that.
And I hope he's really good, and I hope he's better than those guys. And I think he has a real shot to be better than those guys. People say that linebacker is sort of a less valued position in the league right now, but if a guy with that athleticism and size and ability to lead a team is still so important and can be a game changer. And if you get a guy like, you know, a Luke Kuechly or Patrick Willis back in the day who really impact the field more than they even should, that can be a really dynamic presence on your defense, on a defense that already has other playmakers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was with you, and I remember, you know, you took Josh Allen, and everyone had mixed feelings and mixed emotions, and after the trade up, you know, you're kind of sitting there and, you know, remembering that they didn't give up their second first round pick, and you know that the Bills would be up and you'd have to rally potentially for an interior lineman was kind of, you know, the initial feeling. But then all of a sudden you saw the Bills jump back up to 16. And all of a sudden you're like, you're just kind of in a blitz. You don't really know who's on the board. You haven't been tracking. You figure the Bills are just going to stay put and take maybe the best player on the board at that point. Then you're looking at the best available, and you're looking at Edmonds, and you're like, wait, Edmonds is on the board still? Like that's what they're trading up for. I mean, it's just such a gaping hole that, you know, that's who they're coming up for. So like it was mixed emotions that you're like, wow, he's still on the board at 16, kind of eased the pain for some that had Josh Allen pain, right?
Sure. No, it did for me. I remember when we traded up, and I was just like,
wait, he's on the board.
And then I saw Tremaine Edmonds, and I was like, oh my gosh, I hope we don't draft Rashawn Evans or Leighton Vander Esch. Like, we're clearly going up for a linebacker. You really don't make that move unless there is a dynamic prospect or you just have to fill a starting position. And he was the guy that fit both of those things. So I was just hoping that we didn't take the other two linebackers that really, really seen as first round picks at that point. And I'm really glad that
it's just a trade up. Yeah, they traded up for clearly the best player available at that point. So yeah, trust that their scouting department. I mean, the young talent is just impressive. I mean, you got Edmonds and White at two of the most important positions on defense. I mean, you have a potentially healthy and ready to go Shaq Lawson, young player. And you got Harrison Phillips this year who could just be fill in for Kyle Williams potentially. You know, Matt Milano, who's shown really good flashes in Poyer and Hyde, still fairly young safeties. I mean, it's a young defense. And it's just going to get younger, obviously, next year with, you know, probably even more veterans leaving. So there's a lot to be excited about with $60 or $70 million. They're taking $10 million of Eric Wood's salary this year, so they have even more money next year. And a lot of players are going to need to restructure to stay on this team. I mean, there's a lot of dead cap. There isn't going to be a lot of dead cap available. A lot of players, like Jerry Hughes, has a $10 million cap hit and only 2.9 dead. LeSean McCoy, $9 million cap hit with 2.6 dead. Charles Clay's deal is finally eligible to be moved around. AJ McCarron, $7 million cap hit, only $2 million dead. I mean, the team could have a ton of money and just a ton of young talent, Jason.
yeah, it's exciting to see. And this was, you know, next year, you know, we kind of backed our way in, accidentally made the playoffs last season. You know, I'm very unsure about this season, but next season's really the plan where, like, this is the season we were going to get good. And if they have a couple things go right and they have all this extra money, like, they could really build a really dangerous team. They're going to have to get more talent on offense, but the defense is really already set to be really good for years and years to come, for the next, you know, 4 years and beyond. Things are going to have to work out on offense, though. But, you know, it's encouraging to have all that money where maybe we can start addressing those areas, especially, you know, across the offensive line and at receiver.
Yeah, people are silly. I mean, the Bills are spending 26.7% of their cap on dead cap. But that's just because they've just cleared so much and we're willing to eat it this year. It's not for naught. I mean, you got to look at the grand financial picture. And $60 million available now, they're going to be able to roll over at this point, bearing a big signing, $15 to $16 million next year, putting you up to 75, and that's before any cuts. I mean, the Bills could be sitting at $80 million easy, Jason, going into the offseason. And teams that even are willing to spend it, you can't, unless you're just crazy, you cannot even spend $80 million in one offseason.
Yeah. So, no, you seem to see the same teams have tons and tons of cap, because they, you know, they'll start the offseason with $100 million in cap, and you just can't possibly spend all of it in 1 year.
The Bills will only have seven players over $4 million on the cap next year, and a lot of them are going to need to do something with their contracts. Only Star Latulele, Charles Clay, he might even have to do something, but Trent Murphy and those are the only two locks to be on the roster in the top seven, too. So it's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting play. I mean, like, Hyde's there too at 6.6. I mean, that's going to stay. But I mean, you have McCarron that could free up five. You have Charles Clay that could free up five. You have LeSean McCoy that could free up seven. You have Jerry Hughes that could free up seven or eight. So it could get interesting. Lots of young, that just points to lots of young talent on the squad, and furthering lots of young talent with a couple extra picks next year as well. Last topic, Jason. I wanted to get into the supplemental draft. I wanted to be like one of the first to get on this, as it's becoming more and more interesting for the first time in a while since maybe Josh Gordon and offensive tackle fifth round Isaiah Battle. Sam Beal, Adonis Alexander, and Brandon Bryant are three players that could have been day two picks, second and third round picks this year. Many are saying, I know I saw from Adam Schefter today, that Sam Beal could be a second round pick as Josh Gordon was in the supplemental draft that's going to take place at some mysterious date in July that they won't release. But Alexander and Bryant, I mean, are guys that could easily have been second and third round picks as well. And next year too. What do you make of these D-backs?
Yeah, they're very interesting because it's hard to tell because they were never eligible for this year's draft. So I can't get exactly what a grade would have been, or they had never entered at least. They're all interesting. They all had academic problems. One of them, Alexander, probably has the biggest list of sort of off-field problems with a weed possession, a couple of suspensions from the team. Seems like in interviews last year, sort of got his stuff back together, but then again, is academically ineligible again. He's a pure Seahawks-type corner, 6'3", has a 41-inch vertical. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter talk about him, the Twitter scouts, saying they didn't love all of his stuff, but again, at that athleticism, you just have to figure a 6'3 corner that big and fast and jump is going to get a lot of attention. He was probably the biggest name one to come out. I was surprised to see that a lot of people, including Adam Schefter, were really positive about Western Michigan's Sam Beal. Seemed to have pretty good stats in college. I think it was second team. Did you say second team, Mac, last year?
Yes, I did. Second team, Mac.
18 passes defensed and two interceptions over the last 2 years. Seems like a pretty good player.
Western's always a solid squad, too. They're always a solid they're decent at basketball, too, but they're always a solid football squad.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of one of the class of the Mac, definitely behind Buffalo.
And football that can be ranked here and there, yep.
Right. And the third was Brandon Bryant, who I – haven't looked at anything until today, but he's a safety from Mississippi State. made an NFL.com list of college football's fastest players as he was timed by the team at a 4.24 in the 40. Can deadlift 600 pounds. Had a game last year against Auburn where he made 11 tackles. Not the greatest of college stats, but definitely had a few big games. Another guy who's going to leave on academic principles. But, I mean, a 4.24 safety from the SEC – you know, I hadn't seen any sort of current or future draft grades on him, but that's a guy that's going to immediately make teams look at what I can do with him. Can I turn him into a cornerback? People are going to see sub 4.25 speed and take a chance on it. So it's just very interesting that we can have seasons where nothing's going on. And I remember when we were writing articles back in on a previous site where there were like seven guys eligible and like only one got drafted, or you get somebody big like Josh Gordon. I don't know if you just have these big seasons where the NCAA starts to crack down on guys all at once, but having three, I would say top three round guys, not that they'll be drafted there in the supplemental draft, because usually they fall maybe a little further than they would in the normal draft, because people don't like giving up future picks, especially on guys with sort of sketchy pasts. But to see three guys as talented as that is really interesting, especially on a team like ours that could use, you know, another cornerback would be helpful to us to develop, or, you know, another safety.
Yeah. Wow. Woo. That was some heavy hitting content. You're going to get that content here from us, from Jason Shannon, co-host, bringing this heavy hitting Bills news and nuggets, bringing one of the first people to try to cover the supplemental draft here. And DB is something that I know this squad likes a lot, Jason. I know they enjoy it. I know they're willing to think about a 3-5. I do believe that fully. So,
I mean, we drafted two of them this year, and I don't think that precludes us from taking one. I just think that they make us think that it just makes me think that we're really interested in secondary players, and they've always valued them. You know, we used our that, you know, McDermott regime used its first round pick on a cornerback, went and signed two safeties that offseason, drafted another cornerback and a safety this one. It's a position that we definitely want to be strong, and it was the strength of the team last year. Why not?
I agree. Well, I mean, man, this is the Lockdown Podcast now. We're local experts on the biggish stories. Jason Shannon's going to bring it. He's going to continue to get used to these three players, and we're going to try to bring you some more heavy-hitting news on the supplemental draft. But until then, I'm your host, Kevin Misery, and that's Jason Shannon.
Thanks, guys.